This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Home theater nerds, welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that focuses on the experiences we have in our theaters, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and we've got a bunch this week. Not even just with Mulan, we've got sights and sounds that I'm not used to experiencing because it's not my genre, but we'll get to that in a minute. Plenty of lots of sights and sounds this week, suffice it to say. Hey, my name's DJ. You can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com, or you can check out this podcast at the website, Brightside Home Theater, creative, huh? BrightsideHomeTheater.com, and all the podcasts are there, and featured theaters, and I do have a featured theater, but I don't have it ready for this week. All right, I'm going to throw myself on a sword, whatever. I apologize. I've had this theater for about 3 weeks now, maybe even four, but this is my busy time of year at work, and I just have to find time to sit down, and I want to do it justice. I have ideas in my head on what I want to do. I actually had somebody on Twitter this week say, DJ hasn't featured a theater in a while, and I'm like, I know, but I want to do it justice. I want to have fun with it and really give it what it deserves for like YouTube, and that's what I'm trying to do. It's a great theater. Thank you, Theo. But I need to find time to sit down and just do that. As you can tell, I'm trying to do quicker podcasts, trying to find time. But anyways, I do have it. If you'd like to have your theater featured, you could send it in. It might take some time to get it done, but I will talk about it. And I'd like to say I'll have it next week, but you never know. And I hate making promises because then I feel guilty. So thank you very much for that. We will get to that as soon as I can. I'm sorry. But all right, let's move along. Patreon, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can go to Patreon and go to patreon.com/Brightside Home Theater, and you can support the podcast monetarily, as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like. Once a month, they'll take that dollar and they'll give most of it to me, a little bit to themselves. And that's how you can support the podcast. And I'd like to thank my 14 patrons that have all done exactly that. Either that or they go to the website and you can click on the red button that says donate and you can donate that way. Really appreciate it. It does go a long way to help support the podcast because this isn't free, but it is my hobby. So if all 14 went away and nobody, I would still do this. I didn't get in this for the money, but you know, it doesn't hurt. If you want to help out, you can help out. If you don't, absolutely perfect. No problem at all. And another way to support the podcast is join us on Twitter, like movie poster posters did. Pretty cool. I think they're actually, it's at poster posters on Twitter. They go to Letterboxd and they take your collection and they'll make a poster out of it. Pretty cool idea. They followed me on Twitter. It looks like they're just starting out, or maybe they've been around or new to Twitter, but I thought it was a cool idea. I haven't used posters or not posters. I use posters all the time. See, but I haven't used Letterboxd in a long time since I got my Zapiti, because that organizes everything for me. And I can, no matter where I am in the world, I can access my account and just go, there are all my movies. I got my ratings. I got everything right there. So I really enjoy that. I haven't really need Letterboxd, but that's nothing against Letterboxd. Letterboxd is great. See, I don't want to be bad about anybody, but thanks to Movie Poster Posters for joining us on Twitter. Join in on the conversation. Let us know what you've got going on. Also, that would be it for the pleasantries. Look, we're moving along very quickly here. Let's get to listener comments. I have a bunch of them this week. And we're going to start off with this theater that had been, theater in quotations, that had been sent to me today as I'm recording this. I got this. I woke up this morning with 4 or 5 messages. Have you seen this? 2 emails. Yeah, and it just came out. It's this $800,000 home theater in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's deceiving because when you click on it, you go in and you're like, oh, it's not an actual person doesn't own this. It's a company. And what they've done is they've gone and made this house into a like basically home theater house as their demo place. So you go in there and they just have all of these extravagant ideas, which I think are, it's just fantastic. It's awesome to see because the idea is to inspire you on what you want them to build for you. And it's a great idea. And that's why I did my home theater on the website. I feature theaters. It's for people to feature their theaters, but it's also a place to go where you can get ideas for your theater, like I did. Obviously, this is a PD. I'm cleaning up my room like Steve George's so that I can have a nice, neat media room closet. All right. There's some great ideas in there. Albert, oh my God, his models and stuff like that. And then you have, there's a Star Wars themed theater. Yeah. Themed theater. I don't even know where I got the F on that one. Great stuff. And that's just in my featured theaters. Obviously you go throughout the internet and you can find tons of theaters that are so extravagant. Nelson's, geez, he's got the lobby that I always wanted in his theater in the featured theaters. Great stuff. But you go to this place and they do some crazy things. They have a bathroom that you can get a full experience with two speakers on either side. They said it's a $15,000 sound system in the bathroom by the mirror with the TV on the other side of the mirror. That's fantastic. They have a door they're making out of plastic. They're carving it. They have artists working on that. And it got me to thinking this theater because I'm like, I do things because I'm motivated by the fact that I don't have enough money for what I want. So if I can't afford something, I will try to make it or find a way to get it without the money. Like, all right, my theater rack, I always wanted this really nice theater rack. So I built one. I can't afford the really nice ones. So I built one myself with the stuff at Home Depot and I painted it because that's what I do for a living. So I'm able to paint it and make it look good, but that's what I did. And I really like the rack. So I'll probably build another one someday when I see a nicer rack like I did in this theater. It's insane what they built in this house, 800. But my point is, what I would like to, it would be fun to see if someday, what if I got scooped up for my creativity or something and said, look, we want to hire you and we're going to have you use your ideas. That the money isn't the object, it's the creativity. Where money wasn't an object, I'm like, I can't even imagine what I could come up with and what I could do if it was like, oh, this, that, and the other thing. It's like, and it's funny, quick tangent here. My son got a job in engineering and the person that hired him kind of because of his love of Star Wars. He went on the job interview and they were like, oh, they started talking Star Wars. They started talking this. And he's like, I got a 3D printer and it's an engineering company. They're a manufacturer for multiple companies, but they've never had a 3D printing section. And they brought my son in to do this. And it's basically, they want him to develop something, right? Well, he's kind of fallen into his dream job here. He applied for something completely different, but that where it comes back to this, it's like his boss keeps telling him, don't worry about the money. Yeah, that's nothing. Cause he's thinking like me, he was raised by me. And he's like, see this printer over here, that's $1,000. And the guy's like, well, what about that $10,000 one? He's like, oh, well, that's a lot of money. And he's like, no, that one, is it better? Is it this? Is it that? So I can't even imagine what I would be like in a creative environment where it's like, we need you to build this door. Okay, well, I can get this cheap material. No. Money's not the problem. I want you to build a door to look like this. Okay, that sounds cool. And that's what this theater is about. It's basically to inspire ideas and see what people can do and inspire ideas out of people that don't care about money. They just have enough that they could afford whatever room that they walk into in this theater. That would be really cool. I'd love to meet some of those people someday. Maybe. Who knows? But anyways. Okay. That was one listener comment. That was actually many listeners' comments. So thank you, everybody, for sending that in. I'm glad I didn't miss it. That was awesome. Adriano the Nerd at Brightside HT. Wake up on the bright side with the T-Rex breakout scene from Jurassic Park. From its perfect digital and practical effects to its sound editing and mixing to its building tension. This is just peak filmmaking. Give it all the buckets of popcorn. Absolutely. And I replied to him. I said, ironically, it's funny he puts this out because I watched that scene probably 4 or 5 times over the weekend because I think it was like USA or TNT or somebody was running Jurassic Park over and over. Not Jurassic Park, but 1, 2, and 3 back to back, but they ran all three of them over and over. So I saw Jurassic Park a couple times. And of course, as a home theater nerd, what do? We see something on TV. Well, now you've got to compare it to how good does this look compared to what I own? So I go downstairs and I watch it there and then I pull it up there. And now I actually have a Zapedi in the living room, the mini. So I'm comparing there and my wife and I are comparing. So we had so much fun, but that T-Rex scene I watched, like I said, 3 or 4 times over the weekend, and it's just not the same without the bass and without the punch. And quite honestly, the 4K really brings it out because when you watch it on a regular, like through cable, I stream it. I use Fubo for my cable internet, but streaming it through there, the colors are flat, they're a little washed out, and the special effects don't look as good. It looks more fake. It actually looks more realistic when you get into the 4K. It separates out. It doesn't look so much like Jeff Goldblum is in front of a green screen when he's in the back of the Jeep. It looks a little bit more natural than it does coming through a cable TV, through a regular, what I call a regular TV, not in a home theater environment with everything's tweaked out. But yeah, that scene, it's a textbook scene. And in DTSX, that bass, it's crazy. It's so much fun. And it's something that, you know, a lot of scenes aspire to. I think this was the first DTS Laserdisc, if I remember right, back in the day. There's a lot of history to that movie, a lot of history that at home theater nerds have for that movie. We did an entire podcast, Tom and I, because I didn't even know when I asked him on, I just knew that he liked the movie, but I didn't know that was the foundation of him getting into home theater, that it's Tom Andre from AV Rant. That was his introduction to home theater, and it's a great story. And he walks in and these guys had it set up in an apartment and it blew him away. And he was like, wow, I want to be a part of this. So that's pretty cool. So it is a fantastic movie. Thank you, Adriano. Great movie to wake up to, and it'll wake up the rest of the house too. Next up, Graham Cole at Brightside HT. First world problems. Carry a big TV with a Ferrari Testarossa. Why? There's a whole lot of room in the cabin. No, there isn't. He sent this link. You can see the pictures of it. It's an article that I think people found it on Reddit, and somebody actually taped, I think it was a 40-inch or a 41-inch Samsung, it looks like in the image here, TV to the top of the engine bay of a Ferrari Testarossa. I don't know if they actually drove. I suppose if the tape is strong enough, it could work. I don't know. It's kind of gimmicky to me. Maybe if you have enough money and that Ferrari is your winter beater and you've got, you know, a $500,000, because the Testarossas now are fairly cheap. They're only a couple $100,000. I've been lucky enough to work on one. I've driven it. From the owner let me take it for a ride with him, of course, in the car. But you're not fitting a 44 inch or 40 inch TV in that cabin. There is no way. As a matter of fact, if you've ever been in a Testarossa, you actually, as a driver, your feet are sideways because the front wheel is where your foot would go, maybe for a clutch, but it's actually shifted over towards the middle. So your feet are in towards the middle. That's just for your feet. Never mind the rest of the cabin that you're crammed into. As a matter, one of the fun conversations I had with the owner of that car. He's like, what kind of sneakers can I buy? And we were actually, at the time, smartphones didn't exist, but we were talking about going online and looking up these really narrow sneakers. And then he saw driving shoes. And then he found Ferrari driving shoes. And that's what he ended up getting. But anyways, yes, home theater, cars, fantastic. Get into that in a second as well. All right, moving on. Thanks, Graham. JT at Brightside HT. Hi, DJ. Interesting to hear you watch Star Wars to check image, etc. when you upgrade your HT equipment. My go-to scene is the first 30 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. Question, am I your only listener who has never seen Star Wars? Tried, but can't get through more than 20 minutes. JT. So JT's replying last week. He asked about a bunch of movies. So I gave him and told him this part. I think we talked about that last week. And, but first 30 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, which I also know, I'm pretty sure he said that was one of his introductions to home theater. Kind of the same way. Star Wars was my introduction. I know that movie inside and out. He knows that first 30 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, which most of us do. I found it a little emotional to, that's not fun to me to be able to sit down and be like, can't wait to sit. I'm like, get a little choked up at times watching that scene, but it is a fantastic home theater scene. But anyways, are you my only home theater fan that hasn't seen Star Wars? Never seen Star Wars? I gotta say maybe yes. If people want to, you know, tweet us or let us know, let me know, email me, tweet me. If you've never seen Star Wars, that's a tough one because I think it's such a foundational piece. JT, how old are you, buddy? I don't know. I'm guessing you're younger, but I do completely understand. I mean, I've met people that don't like it. I can't say they've never seen it. I've met people that don't like it. They're usually younger. They don't have the experience of like the nostalgia for it. And that is a huge part of Star Wars, is the nostalgia. Even my kids, my buddy John and I have talked about this extensively on my other podcast, where the nostalgia is passed down. And if that's not passed down to you, you're probably not understanding what the hype is. And just to give you an idea, it's like we saw this movie, John and I, we just talked about it a couple weeks ago. You see the movie in 77, another one doesn't come out until 80, and then the third one comes out in 83. No internet in between, no nothing, other than just our imaginations and our conversations as children. And the adults, I imagine, were doing the same thing, that we're really into it. There's a lot there. And it's like, I tweeted this out this week about Empire Strikes Back. I'm like, that movie ended, spoilers, you know, Darth Vader is Luke's father. Boom. End of story. End of movie. You're done. Get out of the theater. Come back in 3 years. You don't come back for 3 years. And you're like, is he telling the truth? He's the biggest bad that we know, especially as a kid. Vader is pure evil. Maybe he's lying. Chances are he's lying. That was part of the conversation. Like, he can't be telling the truth. How is he his father? Obi-Wan, who is, for all intents and purposes, he's dressed as a monk. He can't be lying to us. Obi-Wan's dead. The dead guy can't be, you can't talk bad about him. Why would he lie? So this doesn't make sense. This is a conversation we had for 3 years. Of course that's nostalgia. We love that stuff. Then you get the explanation to that. Then you wait another 20 years for the next movie or whatever it was. But yeah, 3 years you had to absorb this and just to have conversations and to fantasize. So much of that is part of that lore that I think a lot of people are missing now. And if that isn't handed down to you as a kid growing up, you're not going to understand it, because you're just going to go into these movies. You're going to go bang, bang, bang. If you choose to watch them, you're going to be like, I don't get it. It's like kind of hokey. I don't understand. I completely understand you thinking that way, but there's so much more to the Star Wars universe, to the point that when new stuff comes out, All we talk about is how great the people are with Dave Filoni. We're like, he's one of us. He's a Star Wars fanatic. You know, it's like, that's what we want in the Star Wars universe. You don't want people meddling with it to the point that they're right. I'm not one of these people, but there are people mad at George Lucas because they're meddling with what their image is. So people don't like that George Lucas did what he did because it changes their childhood. But imagine being George Lucas. George Lucas is like, this is what I wanted it to look like in the first place. We just didn't have the technology. I completely understand that. Completely understand that. How many times have I changed this podcast? And I'm not George Lucas, but I'm always looking to evolve and develop. And I'm like, I have ideas in my head. I just don't know how to get them on screen or on audio. Well, now I'm learning. But if you're early on in the podcast, you're like, DJ, I like your old monotone. Whatever it was. But you know what I mean? So doesn't mean, and he's actually, I think JT says later on that he's like, he goes, I try every 2 to 3 years. You don't have to try. You don't have to like it. It's, and if you don't have that passion for it, you're probably not going to like it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Clearly you're passionate about home theater. There's plenty of other stuff out there, and don't worry about it. Be that one guy. Don't worry about it. That's no big deal. I think it's actually kind of cool. But I have to say, you might be the only one. I've never met somebody that actually admitted to me that they've never seen it. Many people I've met that have said, no, I don't like it, but never seen it. That's especially in the home theater world. Most people have seen it. So thanks, JT. Great conversation piece. JRB Audio Video Inc. Thanks, Brightside HT, for talking about T2. Because of this, I had to get it in 4K. It was mixed in DTS Master Audio, and you're 100% correct in the great separation in channels. Thanks. Thank JRB Audio Video Inc. No problem. I love that movie, and he sent that tweet along with the gif of the finger, the thumbs up from Arnold as the Terminator gets lowered into the molten metal at the end of the movie. That was pretty cool. But yeah, love that movie. Love talking that movie. I could probably do a podcast every week on that movie. That I could do Star Wars. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Rambo, First Blood Part 2. I could probably do one on that, which will be coming up soon. Again, just like I just said to JT earlier, because there's so much emotion there. There's so much passion for that because of when I was a kid. This is what I was into. So it's the memories. Okay, emails this week. Bunch of emails. And there are a lot of them from Carl. Carl sends us, and when you hear the other podcast, HT guys and AV Rant guys, they're not kidding. And I look at a lot of them aren't geared towards the environment. They're geared towards, the tech and the setting up stuff, which is the other two podcasts, which is HD Guys and AV Rant Guys. But I got to say, and I've said this before, if you're new to the podcast, I've thanked Carl before because I'm honored to be a part of the group. And we have conversations going back and forth in these emails. As a matter of fact, Carl and I talked a lot about cars this week. I gave him my complete rundown of my history of cars. Thanks, Carl, buddy. That was so much fun going down that history with you, which I had already, like I said to you in the email, talked to my wife about it. We had a great conversation. But cars, passion for hobbies, stuff crosses over. But yeah, it's... We get to that. It's so much fun. Thank you, everybody that sends in emails. I think other than all of the ones from Carl, I can't think of another one this week. But we do have one more message from Mark V this week. And Mark says, also, I know this is a no-no to ask Star Wars fan, but here we go. Have you reviewed any of the audio on the new Star Trek movies? The second and third are in Atmos and sound pretty good. Not sure if I asked before. He has one more thing after that, and I'll touch on that quickly. I actually own all three of those, and he's talking about the new Chris Pine Star Treks. I have all three. I've seen all three. I love all three, even as a Star Wars fan. I'm not opposed to Star Trek, but I do favor Star Wars, and I do like the newer Star Treks. They're more modern. They have great sound, great picture, and I mentioned to Mark that when I had my new projector calibrated, one of the movies that we used to show it off, the new calibration with the calibrator here, he's like, check this out. And it was Into the Darkness, I think the second Star Trek movie. We watched that in the opening scene with the reds and everything and how brilliant they look and how they jump off the screen in the yellow in the other in the natives as they're chasing Chris Pine, Captain Kirk. And it, there's just a lot of detail and checking out that new Rec 2020 that I'd never seen before. And to be honest with you, my calibrator is like, this looks gorgeous. He's talking. He was so excited to see it on that screen. It is a great opening scene. And as Mark said, that opening scene, when they take the ship out from under the water, the bass output in that opening scene is fantastic. But yeah, all three movies I really enjoy. And I believe all three are in Atmos. I checked Star Trek, the first one, and it, that, according to my information, that one is also in Atmos. But they are a lot of fun. The last thing that Mark had to say in that tweet was, lastly, maybe in your weekly news, you could announce any new 4K movies released that you would recommend. Thanks again. And you know what? You guys, you make suggestions. If I can accommodate, I will. And here we go. Mark, here we go. My new section, new releases. And this week, today, as I record this, In the Line of Fire, Clint Eastwood comes out. Very much looking forward to that. Can't wait. Now, here's where I will get into what I don't want to get into. And I used to do new releases back when I first started the podcast. And it got difficult for me. I was actually organizing it with Justin from over at High Def Disc News. And he would come on and we would go back and forth. But it was getting hard for us to organize time, and it was actually pigeonholing. Now, I was on his schedule, and it was harder for me, so it got hard. And then it was like, it got difficult to schedule it, and so I got away from it. And I also didn't, I wanted this podcast to be about the environment, so I didn't want so much to be about the tech and then this and that. So, but that's a great idea, Mark, because now I'm in my flow. I could easily do this. It'll be shorter in the future. I've got this little introduction to my new section here. But new releases, no problem. Off the top of my head, I don't know if this is coming in Atmos. But that's not what this website, this podcast is about. This podcast is about the environment. I can't wait to experience this movie again, remastered. I'm hoping it's in Atmos. Let me know. But that's what I'll do here in this one. These are the new releases that are coming out that I'm either going to have or can't wait to get. And that's what where we're at right now. I know, as my trusty phone keeps telling me right now, Clint Eastwood In the Line of Fire is three stops away from my house right now. I ordered it on Amazon. It's on its way. This next one, Last Action Hero. I can't find it. I ordered it on Amazon. It should be here in 2 days. But I don't know why it's not here today. I tried to go to Best Buy and buy it, but that one came out today. I cannot wait to see that in it, all of its glory. So much fun. I love Last Action Hero. This is the definition of fun. They make fun of the stuff we love in movies. They make fun of the hypocrisies that go on in movies. Plus, it is a great home theater experience. It always has been. I loved this movie on Laserdisc. I loved it on DVD. I love it on Blu-ray. I cannot wait to see it in 4K. So much fun. And last but not least, clearly, Godzilla vs. Kong. Best Buy opened at 10 o'clock. I was there at 10 o'clock. Now I have to go back onto my Amazon account and cancel the one that's going to be here on the 29th of the month. Don't ask me. I don't know why that's taken so long. But they've got one coming in. I ordered it. It says on my thing, I ordered it back May 5th. And it's still not going to be here till the end of the month. But I can go to Best Buy and buy the disc. Stupid. Anyways, so Godzilla versus Kong. Can't wait to see that. Obviously, we've all seen it in 4K with Atmos back on HBO Max. But now I want to see the disc version. Can't wait to get to that as soon as I'm done recording here. I think that's what I'm going to do. Definitely taken in parts of the movie today. That's for sure. All right. That does it. That does it for the new section. Mark, thank you very much. great reminder. I should be doing that, and I can do them quickly because those are what I want, and you guys let me know what you want, and then we'll place them here in Movies and Scenes. Graham Cole. So my next push play might be Firebirds for a nostalgic, terrible movie. I'm going to laugh so hard when Cage does his simulator scene. I have never seen this movie. I have never heard of this movie. I can't wait. I got this a little over a week ago, I think, just after I recorded last week's podcast, maybe. I can't wait to see this. Thanks, Graham. I want to check this one out. Next up, Loki. Bam. Wow. Pow. It's unbelievable that they can top themselves so frequently. WandaVision was unreal on Disney Plus. We all enjoyed that if you're into the MCU and all of this stuff. It was a lot of fun. A lot of guessing. Things didn't pan out the way we wanted, but it was a fun roller coaster ride. Falcon Winter Soldier, more cinematic than WandaVision, less gimmicky. Not saying WandaVision was gimmicky. It was gimmicky, but it paid off. It was great. Falcon Winter Soldier, more character-based, story-based, more MCU-like. But now we get Loki. This is a fun home theater experience, first and foremost. That's what we're here to talk about. The home theater experience of this, it had a great picture, great sound. I think it's better than the other two. I don't know if you could say combined, but it was awesome. Great sound pans, great bass, a lot of fun. It's a shame we're probably not getting these on disc because I would love to see the improvement in it. I watched this show multiple times in my theater and upstairs on my TV in my living room with my wife, and it doesn't play the same on a regular TV. You need the environment. For instance, when Loki lands at the opening, no spoilers or anything like that. When Loki lands in the opening scene, when he comes through the portal and lands in the desert, you on a regular TV, you can barely see the little stream of him shooting across the sky. But down on my big screen, there's more sound. It's room enveloping the entire. I mean, the picture looks great. I mean, I have a 4K TV in my living room. It just isn't calibrated. It doesn't look the same. It's not as big. Probably does better HDR than my projector, but when you blow it up to 110 inches, you get more detail than you can get in a 50 inch TV, you know, so that's that. But watching it downstairs in the theater over and over, watching these different scenes, seeing the things pop out, my son and I had a blast with it. I had a blast with it. The drawer, spoiler free. I said earlier this week, anybody that can guess this, all right, this is spoiler free, but in that drawer, what the image that I tweeted out, if you can guess what I'm pushing play on that morning, the image I tweeted out was a Honus Wagner baseball card. That's one of the images, one of the things in that drawer. Spoiler free, you won't know what I'm talking about, so it doesn't really spoil anything until you get there and you go, oh, that's a Honus Wagner baseball card. Also in that drawer is I won't get into it. Get up, go up to your TV or your screen, as my son and I did, stood at the screen because of the 4K image and the detail. You can actually read what the tags say. And we started looking around. That's how I figured out, well, I kind of figured it was a baseball card. And I was like, that's a Honus Wagner. And you can see it says on there. I think it says, if I remember right, Wagner Pittsburgh is what it says on the card. But the idea of that drawer is what's in there, we consider powerful. They consider it a junk drawer. That's my intent, my perception of the drawer. If you want more about this, go to my other podcast for this week and Brightside Chat and jump to Kryptonite Key Club. That's where my buddy and I will talk spoilers. We call it Kryptonite Key Club because we keep a key to his comic book store in a little kryptonite thing under the thing. So when you want to get into the store and you want to hear spoilers, you go put the key in the door and you get to come in the Kryptonite Key Club. We've locked the door and hidden the key. That's where we got the name for it. But anyways, at the end of the show, we do Kryptonite Key Club, all spoilers. We are definitely going to be talking about Loki this week. I haven't talked to him yet, so I cannot wait for that. But unbelievable show. I think this is going to be better than WandaVision. I think it's going to be better than Falcon Winter Soldier. I can't wait to talk to John because sometimes he goes in a different direction than me. I doubt it this week. But yeah, definitely check that out. But that's what that was. That was a baseball card, a Hornswagner baseball card, and there are other medals in there. There are other things, some of them powerful, some of them obscure. And I think the idea is it all is just junk to them. And if you know what the powerful things in there are, you'll be like, wow, that's junk. But and that's what they say in the show. So that'll do it on Loki. Great home theater experience. Definitely check that one out on Disney Plus, as you do Mulan too. And the last but not least, before we get to reviews, I have to touch on this. My review of Mulan, I should say. Spatial audio on Apple Music. Wow. This Ara dropped. I am speechless because Ara dropped a tweet last week shortly after I had recorded my podcast for the week, and I almost dropped it into that podcast. I almost jumped behind, you know, and edited it and dropped it in, but I was like, you know what, I'll wait till next week. And I'm glad I did, because more went on and I got more experiences that day. So that day I went on with my wife and we watched so much stuff. We watched, obviously, Ara tweeted about Riders on the Storm, so we checked that out by the Doors. But the Lunatic Fringe, that every rose has its thorn. It starts acoustically, even if you don't like Poison. Just listen to this in Dolby Atmos. And here's the thing. And this, if you're not part of Twitter, if you're not following me on Twitter, you probably don't know. A lot of this conversation already took place on Twitter. But it seems that Apple Music is gearing this towards the headphone market. Okay. They're gearing it towards, you can, you know, their spatial audio, which is, that's what that is for. It's for the headphones so that you can move your head and it'll, whatever they're doing. But this all plays through your Apple TV in Atmos. If you have an Apple TV 4K, it'll play through Atmos. Steve George found out all you have to do is update your Apple TV. And Steve, no problem, buddy. Apps, I've done that myself. You're like, why isn't this working? And then it's like, oh, I just need an update. Okay, cool. That's all you need. Make sure you're running the most recent update of Apple on your Apple TV. You'll get your Atmos. If you have an Atmos enabled system, meaning a receiver or sound bar, whatever. But for the people that actually have Atmos, not a soundbar, but an actual Atmos system with the discrete channels above, this is incredible. I'm not a music guy. It behooves me that people can sit down and just listen to music. I sit here doing this podcast. I have to wiggle. I have to move. I have trouble sitting still. So to sit down and listen to music is very difficult. I've never understood that. I'm more of a throw in my earbuds and be able to go work out or something. And I've said that before on this podcast. But this, my wife and I are like, we got to have friends over. We got to have neighbors over. We got to have anybody. Come on over. Listen to this. It is incredible. It takes songs. And instead of just like being there listening to the song, it's like you're in the song. It's like you're on the stage. People snapping their fingers like this. Well, they're snapping their fingers behind you. And it doesn't sound gimmicky. It sounds real. It sounds like that's where they are. Backup singers. So when you're watching Apple Music on TV, they have the words go by, scroll by, but the backup singers are in parentheses. Those, anything in parentheses is usually coming out of anything but the center channel. So, and it's all appropriately placed. It sounds fantastic. Getting back to Every Rose Has Its Thorn. It begins with Bret Michaels, like, breath. It starts out with the, and then goes into an acoustic guitar. Sounds awesome. Everything's towards the front of the room. But then as the music comes in, the rest of the band comes in, the room fills in. Sounds awesome. Again, Riders on the Storm, the thunder circles the room overhead. And you, I'm, like I said, I don't like to sit still and listen to music. This is the way to do it because you're not sitting still. You're looking around the room. Whoever you're with, have somebody with you because you're going to be tapping each other. Did you hear that? And then they're going to be saying, yes, I did. I'm not deaf. That's what my son said. Yeah, so it's so much fun. And it really, it's funny because when you go on Apple Music, you scroll down. You have to scroll all the way to the bottom and it'll say Apple TV through a Dolby Atmos enabled receiver or something, you know. It's like the last thing they mention when that's probably the best experience because you don't have anything on your head. You're looking around. I mean, it's just incredible. I don't know what it would sound like. I'm going to put a shout out to my buddy Derek at Echo 5. I can't remember what his Twitter handle is, but my buddy Derek, I know you listen, and he has an Atmos enabled soundbar. He has the Sonos Arc. I'd love to hear what this sounds like there. And just, you know, give me a call or come on down. He's my neighbor. So anyways, but yeah, anybody, if you're experiencing this with anything other than a actual Atmos speaker, overhead speakers, but you're getting the Atmos experience, let me know because this, I can't wait to hear what it sounds like because it does sound incredible in an Atmos theater. One of the more fun things, and is definitely demo worthy, is the demo that they give you at the beginning to explain it. And it's on the tip of my tongue. What's his name? I have his image on the screen here. Marvin Gaye, from mono to stereo to Atmos. Listen to that demo. It's like 2 minutes, 3 minutes long. But it plays very clearly in your room. And if you're looking at, like, for instance, in my room, when I'm in my room, I can see what's on the receiver because the receiver's in a closet. But on my phone, I can see what's playing. So if it's in Dolby Atmos, it'll say on my phone that it's playing in Dolby Atmos. So at the beginning of this entire thing is put out in Atmos. But the opening part where they do mono, well, they're only playing a mono channel. They're using Atmos to just give you that mono. And it won't be up converted because it's in Atmos. If it went down, if you just got your mono signal, your system, or mine in particular, would try to up convert it. But it doesn't. So you hear it in the front. And when they go to stereo, you can hear a difference. It's fairly slight. There is a difference, but basically what it does is it takes the sounds and it separates them from left to right. And, you know, but when you're listening to two channels and you're sitting in the middle, you're going to have that centered sound. Well, when the mono is going to sound like it's in the centered, the stereo is going to sound wider, a little bit nicer, a little bit wider. But then when they go to the Dolby Atmos, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being mono, 10 being Atmos, you go from 1 to about a 3.5 for stereo. Then when you go from there to Atmos, it's that big of a jump because instead of, and it's funny because they're sitting there, that they're telling you that they're like, oh, this is the way you've always listened to it. It sounds great. And it does. You're listening to that stereo version and it sounds fantastic, but they go, now listen to it in Atmos, and you're like, what? It's just like you, everything comes out and wraps right around you. It is unreal. It's the way to listen to music. I can't wait. I know they're getting it for cars. I just bought a stereo for my car. I'm upgrading because I have an 05 RX8 that doesn't have Apple Play or anything, and it's very difficult to get my music into the car nowadays. But I if they had an Atmos enabled receiver, I probably would have bought it because it is that much fun. And when they do this in cars, it's going to be incredible because I know it's coming. But Atmos enabled sound in the car might cause an accident. So you might need a car that can self-drive so you can listen to the Atmos soundtrack. But anyways, definitely check that out. Definitely go to AV Rant listen to last week's HT, guys, if you haven't already, but AV Rant's going to have even more of an explanation on how to get it if you don't know how to get it. But the environment, I'm here to tell you, the environment's incredible, and do anything and everything you can to try to experience this, because it's an unbelievable experience for music. And it revolutionary, I would say. And from the talk on Twitter, it seems a lot of people agree with that. I'm surprised I haven't heard people say, it doesn't sound like it should. It's not as warm as the, like a vinyl or whatever. Because I thought I was going to hear more about the gimmicky part of it, but it's not. It's probably because I follow people like-minded. So that maybe that's why. Maybe if you get into the audiophile world, they'll be like, nope, this is ridiculous. So, okay. And I understand that. But anyways, check that out. Now, this week's featured movie, Mulan in 4K on disc and streaming. I compared them both, watched this with my daughter. We had so much fun with it. We sat down, we watched this movie together. Then when I was done with it, she sat with me and we AB'd back and forth. I just bought a new 4K, Apple 4K TV, and I had to dial that in because at first it wasn't doing all the thing. I wasn't doing, you know, native resolution, native everything. I didn't have it dialed in the way my old one was. So we were going back and forth and the picture didn't look as good. The sound was the same. That's to be fair. The sound was the same. I was getting Atmos through the entire thing. Picture wise though, if you're not dialed in, streaming is junk. Once it was dialed in, it's not junk. It still looked good. It just wasn't dialed in. Once we dialed it in, the black levels were there. There was a little bit of jitter going on. Took care of that. There was a bunch of stuff that if you're not dialed in, it's not going to be as nice. And then even my daughter, we're both looking at it, and there's a scene coming up that where I compared the HDR, and even that scene cleaned up a lot. Early on, the scene was very muddied, very dark to one side. It didn't look good at all. And like I said, once I dialed in the Apple 4K TV, much better. Very, very close. Sound, not as close. I will say that the sound's not as close. It sounds like it's a little bit muffled, not muffled, but it's not as dynamic. You don't get the big difference between the highs and the lows through the streaming Atmos that you do with the disc. Still sounds great, but it's just not as punchy, and it doesn't feel as discreet, except for one scene that I'm going to talk about that's one of my favorite scenes now of all time. And we'll get to that. And guess what? It gets 3 boxes of popcorn. But it's, you know, you're going to have to wait for that one, because that is, it's absolutely fantastic. And it's something that anybody can check out for free if you have Disney Plus. And it's definitely worth it. I'm going to tell you right now that this scene I'm talking about, it's worth getting Disney Plus just for the month, just so you can check out this scene. Because if you're watching me right now, you are a home theater nerd, and this is what home theater nerds nerd out about, this scene. So you got that coming up. And if you really want to check it out, just go to the show notes and you'll see the one I'm talking about, and you can jump right to there. But anyways, so the picture overall, this movie was made for 4K, for HDR, for everything. I mean, it is so vibrant from beginning to end. The phoenix that plays throughout this movie, that's kind of like a paper kite that goes through the movie, is gorgeous. Everything in this movie, the bright colors, the costumes, my God, the costumes, the detail level in these costumes. There's a scene I talk about where it's disgusting. Everybody's dead, but the costumes look great. The metal looks, the detail and everything looks fantastic. We jump right in with this opening scene. You go into this village in the round, and you're just brought into this cornucopia of colors. It's crazy. So, I mean, I could just talk all day about that. I'm narrowing this down, trying to be simple about things and pick some of the scenes that really jumped out at me. And I have to say really jumped out at me, because this entire movie just jumps off the screen at you visually, audibly. jumps off. I mean, it fills your room. There is so much bass in this movie from beginning to end. Not Lucy type bass, not the kind where you're like, it's going to rattle your walls. Gives a nice fullness to the room throughout the movie, whether it's drums in an attack or it's just part of the score itself, or horses galloping or people running up walls, all the different things, the Atmos sound in this room, the way, the discreteness of the room, the pans, the arrows flying, the archers stretching strings, so much going on. There's just dialogue, a little hint, dialogue sounds great, and it's not just centered on the center channel. Again, you'll know what I'm talking about. Fantastic. Disney knocked it out of the park with this. I highly recommend this movie as far as a home theater event. I will call it that. I'm giving the movie 3 boxes of popcorn. I'm giving the sound 3 boxes of popcorn. I'm giving the picture 3 boxes of popcorn. I had so much fun with it. I'm glad I got to take it in with my daughter. Because of our schedules, I wanted her sitting with me here. But we're just very busy right now. But anyways, let's get this popcorn popping because I'm so excited to get to these scenes, especially the nerd out scene that we're going to get to. But let's get to these scenes. And first off, that Disney opening logo, my comment on it was how great it looked. In it almost had a 3D feel, like a lot of these Disney movies do with the animation here. And the clouds, as they settled down to it, there was some great separation there. But the colors really popped and stuff. But check out, and my daughter pointed this out to me, instead of Tinkerbell going up and over the castle, it's actually a phoenix, which is pertinent to the movie. And I thought that was really, really cool. We watched it back and forth and stuff. So she noticed that. She goes, oh, check that out. So that was really cool. But let's jump ahead to 133. And this is in my notes. Nice bass rumble as you crest that circle village that you come into. Like it's a in the round type village. And the colors are so vibrant. But that bass rumble was really, really nice. Very subtle. Very just comes up from below you and you get the boom. Very quick, very subtle, but really nice. And then a lot of nice pans going on there as well. As like, because you come into that circle village, that is, and you're spinning and looking around. And if you pay attention, some of the sounds are actually spinning with it. And then, of course, as Mulan is chasing the chicken, you get nice pans there as well as the chicken runs off to the right or runs off to the left. And it really, really well done. But also the colors of that village, so many different colors there for you to see. And you just like for the rest of this movie, it just pops off the screen. It looks so nice. Then at 7:41 attack, I called it attack. I give it 1 box of popcorn, great bass, great pans. I may even go to 2 boxes of popcorn for this one. It's just a really, really cool scene for this great attack. So you have the horses, you know, the bad guys or what you will attacking, and they're coming in on the horses in a V formation, and you can hear it. You can hear almost each individual footstep of the horses as they gallop towards the city walls. And it, I mean, there's a nice bass rumble, but there's also more detail in the bass as well. It just sounds so, so real, so good. And even as you come in on them, you see them in the V formation, you're looking down on them and one of their scarves or whatever comes off their head and flies by you and goes by your screen and off to the left and the sound follows. That was really nice. As they're attacking the building, the colors and everything of the different costumes, as I said earlier, that look fantastic. Of course, the bad guys dressed in all black. So, you know, textbook Disney. And then that arrow, they shoot an arrow the lead bad guy, if you will, catches it and they fire it back and it comes back in over the wall and hits on a piece of board to the left side of your screen. And I mean, there's a lot going on in this scene and you still can hear that nice distinct sound as it comes in and go thoom, right on that side of the screen. The bad guys, again, they hit the wall, start running up the wall. Sound pans perfectly. You hear their individual footsteps, different than the horse's footsteps, but you still get a nice bass there. Again, once they crest that wall, it's colors all over the place. You have flags, you have their uniforms, the detail in their uniforms, the villagers all running dressed in very vibrant colors all over the place. Looks really nice. Couple of slow motion scenes bring it down visually, that is, but the sound, just really, really cool. So much detail in the sound here. Villagers actually, or combatants being kicked and strewn about and like thrown from one side of the screen to the other. You can hear that. This all plays out until about 9 minutes and 34, 40 seconds. So it's about 2 minutes of an attack. Really, really cool. And again, I wasn't expecting this in a Disney movie like this. Really enjoyed it. Now, this next one really is the artist in me because this one's all about the picture. It's at 1517 makeup. So Mulan is getting made up for her job interview as a wife. Sad, but I guess that's tradition. That's the way it was. But check out the detail here of the different textures, whether it's the textures on her lips, the texture of her skin, the texture of the makeup itself, when they show the different brushes dipping into the makeup and you see the powder, or at one point the lips, her lip looked like it was a little bit wet, but then in another picture you could see it was dried, so it had a duller texture to it. Just as they glopped it on at first, the white at first, you could see it was just glopped on there. You could actually see, it's like you could reach into the screen and touch it. It looked, I mean, the detail there was so nice. And it only lasted, I mean, the entire thing is probably 20 to 30 seconds of them making up her face, that is. But it just so vibrant too. It's like and that's the idea of this makeup. It's to really accentuate her features and stuff. But the vibrancy, the texture, so much detail. And I mean, call me crazy, but I really enjoyed this makeup scene. It's kind of funny for a guy, but it really stood out to me. This next one is probably one of the coolest scenes I've seen in a little while. And when I say scenes, it's literally like 3 to 5 seconds long. So this comes to you at 25 minutes 45 seconds. Oh, I'm sorry. It's at 25 minutes and 38 seconds thereabouts. Okay. And like I said, it could be plus minus on either side of that. Now this, it's the sword. So Mulan is wielding her father's sword and she's moving it around and she sticks it out towards the screen and you can see her reflection in the side of the sword facing you, like coming right at you on the screen. It's gorgeous. Leave it to Disney to be able to pull off something like this, because I don't even know if like this is how it would work, like if your face would reflect off of it that way, but it looks so nice. My daughter noticed it right away. She's like, look at her face there. And we went back and forth on this scene with the 4K disc and then the Disney Plus streaming version. And the 4K disc, it's just a little bit more detailed. And you're getting down to the nitty gritty here to be able to see her like cheekbones. And what you really can tell is the image that's being reflected isn't the same image that's like her face is. it's clearly superimposed because the shadowing is completely different. The highlights are completely different. But it just, it looks so cool. Her face really at this, like I said, for this 3 to 5 seconds, maybe looks like a hologram. As the sword shakes, so does her image. It vibrates along with it, but you could see her face in the sword, in the reflection of the side of the sword that's pointing at you. And it is just, it's so gorgeous. It's so well done. And I think to me, I give this 2 boxes of popcorn because I'm wondering how many people pick up on that. Honestly, I'm wondering how many people on your little TVs that, you know, maybe they're not streaming in 4K. They don't care about this stuff. They're just watching the movie and she's flicking around a sword and she points it at you. But check that out. And like I said, at 25 minutes and 38 seconds, it's really cool. 2 boxes of popcorn, all about the image. But, and it also plays to the movie. It's her destiny. It's her everything. Her life is in this sword. Just a cool, cool way. And leave it to Disney to pull it off so beautifully. Then at 3123, we have Night Guard Duty. This one here I used to go back and forth between the 4K and the streaming 4K, the 4K disc that is. And check out how the HDR stood up for streaming. And it's pretty good. The streaming was pretty good. Once I dialed in my new Apple TV 4K, it looked pretty close. Not dead on, but again, both my daughter and I agree that if you went from one house to another, or maybe even one room to another, you wouldn't be able to really discern a huge difference. But going back and forth, the disc had a little bit more clarity in the shadows. And a little bit more, like for instance, when they pull away, this is at 3123, as they pull away, there's a statue to the right side of your screen with Mulan kind of in the background. And on my image here on the computer, I can't even see it. It's just all blacked out. And on the streaming, it looked a little bit more like blacked out, like not as much detail as on the disc when you watch it. I mean, on the disc, on my big screen, it looks fantastic. It, like, I could see so much detail. You can see like the blueness, that it's almost a monochromatic look at nighttime, you know, with the blue, and then the highlights of the water from the rain streaming down her face. There is actually a nice ambient sound of the rain around your room, a little bit overhead, not, you know, super, you know, enhanced, like you'd hear rain pouring on your head, but a little bit in the overheads, but it is around your room, like you're out there in the rain with her. But the image here was just, the HDR was really well done. And like I said, slightly less on the streaming, but it's so close now. It really, really is. It's getting so good. As Ara and I said last week, it's the streaming to 4K. It's, you're getting into the nitty gritty here. So that's pretty cool. Now let's jump to 54 minutes for a very dramatic scene of the 4th Battalion, or what's left of the 4th Battalion. This scene here has tons of picture detail where they're scanning over the panning, I should say. The camera is panning over the bodies of the 4th Battalion. And the detail in the uniforms, it's almost, again, a monochromatic scene here with red, but there's so much detail in the shadows because it's such a dark scene, but the highlights of the metal look really nice. The brightness and the vibrancy of the red looks really nice. But the sound in this scene, and again, all throughout this movie, they have some fantastic bass. They have some battle scenes we're going to get to in a second. They have so much going on. But in this particular scene here, it's meant to be a dramatic scene, to the point that even the characters that are walking over the bodies, it's in slow motion. But the sound for it is at full speed. When you first see the characters walking on top of the body or on top of the screen there, you'll see that's kind of slowed down in slow motion as they take all of this in. And as the soldiers are taking in these bodies of the 4th Battalion, the detail of the fires burning around the room at one point early on in the scene at like the 5410, I believe, something like that, they've you've got fires on either side of your screen that you can hear very clearly, that just what it sounds like with a fire burning, right? And then there's one on the left side, one on the right, so you hear it on both sides of your screen, but then you'll hear another one off to the rear, the left rear, I think, but it's they're all around the room as the camera is panning to different shots. The sounds are moving, but also pay attention very closely to the breath, the breathing of the soldiers looking at all this. And you can hear it very subtly. If you're listening at reference level, very subtly, you can hear the soldiers breathing like they're in shock. And it's, I thought that was really cool because there's a lot of bass here too in the score, some vibrating bass, some very thumpy bass going through this, through the score to set the mood at how somber this is. But it's all of those little details. Like I said, the details in the armor, stuff like in the picture, gorgeous. But listen to the little sounds that you're going to hear around your room here, because you're not being overwhelmed by a giant battle. It's a very somber moment. It's a very detailed moment. And there's a lot to take in there. So I gave that one box of popcorn. Really, really enjoyed that. Watch that one quite a few times, actually. I lost count, to be honest with you. Then at 58 minutes even, just go to 58 minutes, start it right there. I called it battle presentation because this is how they used to fight back in even the revolution in the old days. They'd literally line up in a field against each other. And that's what they're doing here. And there's drums. They bring drums to they actually did serve a purpose. That's how they signaled the rest of the army on what to do next and everything like that. But for Mulan purposes, for entertainment purposes, they sound fantastic. They're that boom, 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 boom. I mean, it's great. But starting at 58 minutes, let's back up a second. You hear the flags because they have all their flags up, and you hear those whipping around, and those are going off behind you, not going off, but you can hear them blowing in the wind around the room behind you and everything. That's really cool. They're panning around the two different armies as they face off against each other, and the sounds there are really cool. Then we start getting into, like I said, the drums and everything going back and forth. And then they say something like, archers, get ready, or whatever it is. And they all start pulling back. And the camera starts taking different angles. And you can hear the archers in front of you, but then also behind you, you can hear that, like, the stretching of the strings. That's going on behind you. I gave this one box of popcorn because I thought it was so cool how they did this. We don't even get into the battle here, you know. Once they do, I mean, Mulan goes off and does her thing. She meets up with a hawk lady or whatever. She goes off and does that, but then they come back and you have the battles. So, I mean, those all sound fantastic, but the detail here I thought was so much fun. Even when, like, Mulan chases off against that one rogue squadron that goes off on their own and they start firing arrows back and forth at each other, you have nice pans there. But the opening battle presentation, I thought there was so much there to take in. And those, like I said, those drums, man, that was so cool. But then the detail of the stretching strings and everything going on, it's definitely one worth taking in. I would say it's definitely one. That's why I gave it a box of popcorn. It's a fun one to show off your theater for sure. And last but definitely not least, I saved this one for last. Well, it actually goes chronologically last as my last scene, but it's the best scene. I'm giving it three boxes of popcorn and the red triangle pointing up because that means Atmos. What gets us home theater nerds more giddy than a great use of overheads? And We love that stuff. We love it. Like if you got like rain coming down, like I mentioned earlier, or you got the thunder rolling around the room or anything where we're using our overheads. But the thing about overheads is it's usually ambient sounds like rain. So it's not distinct. You'll hear the raindrops, but it's not like you can just pick it out over there. And it's to add ambience. That's the idea. Atmospheric, Atmos, you know. So stuff like that. But when you get a scene that's this crisp, this clean, this discreet, How do you not get super excited? How do you not give it three boxes of popcorn? It's dialogue. We have crisp, clear dialogue out of our overhead left front speaker. If you're running four channels, four overheads, it'll be mostly out of the front. And this comes at 1 hour, 23 minutes, 45 seconds, shortly after a fun, real fun scene. It's in the middle of it, actually, where they're in the middle of all this scaffolding and they're using the tarps, blankets, whatever you want to call, like tapestries for battle. That's a lot of fun. But we're going to focus on this 1 hour, 23 minutes and 45 seconds when you hear, ha 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 ha, surely you didn't expect a fair fight. So that right there comes from, like I said, as I'm situated in my theater, I have my four overhead speakers. My left front overhead speaker is slightly at like about 10 o'clock to my left. And it is crystal clear out of there. Now, here's how much fun I had with this scene. I got up, watched this scene a bunch of times. My daughter was like, that was so cool. She happened to be sitting on my left. And she goes, yeah, it came from right up there. So like, to me, it was off to my side. To her, it was more in front of her, which is where the kind of the speaker is. Right away, that's telling me how discreet this is. So that got me into my, you know, let's check it out mode. And I went around and I put my ear to every single speaker in the room for not only the 4K disc, but for the 4K streaming. And I got to tell you, it is just as discreet on the 4K streaming. And here's how it breaks down. Very simply, the only speakers in the room that are getting this dialogue are your overheads. It's not discreet just to that one speaker, but that one speaker, the left front speaker, it's more amplified. You have a higher volume of sound coming out of that speaker. The other speakers, as you go around the room, get progressively less. I found that the exact opposite side corner of the room, the right rear overhead, that one had the least amount of dialogue coming out of it, out of that line. Ha ha ha, surely you didn't expect a fair fight. That, and I know it by heart because, well, I listened to it, well, 11 by 2, 22 times, something like that. So only the overheads have it. Nothing out of the center channel, nothing out of the other channel, any of the other channels, your rears, even your side surround speakers. There is nothing. So as we sit in my theater, I thought for sure there would be something there, but nothing. It's like, just to get your ear to go there, I thought that there would be something in those surround channels, but there's nothing. It is a 100% overhead. That's, you can't ask for more as a fan of object-based surround sound or Dolby Atmos. This is not atmospheric. This is an actual conversation taking place through one of the overhead speakers, actually using all of them to give you a greater sense in your room. But that one, like I said, left front channel, I don't know what it would be like. I got to imagine that it would be your left channel would have the heavier dialogue if you only have two. And I'm not sure if you're running six. I would guess it would maybe be the middle one if you're running six overheads. I can't speak to that. I only have four. So one of my favorite scenes, this one's probably going to be a lot like Lucy. And when somebody mentions to me, asks me, what's a great overhead scene? I'm going to go pull it up on Disney Plus because it sounds fantastic there as far as overheads go. Pull it up on Disney Plus. 1 hour, 23 minutes, 45 seconds. Ha ha ha. Surely you didn't expect a fair fight. And they're going to look at me and go, what does that mean? But yeah, Mulan, surely you didn't expect a fair fight. Fantastic. Definitely, definitely check that one out. That will, if you have overhead speakers, maybe even if you're running Atmos enabled speakers like that, shoot it up. I'd be interested to hear how it sounds with that, because I can tell you, I mean, this is one where we could say, I don't think this isn't debatable. This is the way it's programmed. It is discreet as it can be coming out of your overheads with a higher sense of volume out, a higher level of volume out of the front left. So if you have overhead enabled where it's shooting it and bouncing it, be very interested to hear how that sounds and how discreet that, how discreet it pulls that off. So pretty cool, pretty cool. All in all, what a movie. Honestly, I was blown away. One of my favorites. So much fun, so vibrant, so artistic, so much fun with the sound throughout the movie. There's just so much to take in. I'm a little disappointed in myself, to be honest with you, that I didn't take it in earlier. I know I wanted to watch it with my daughter. She was home for Christmas. We just didn't get to it. And it wasn't on, you know, a forethought of mine. But I did. And I have, and I recommend you take it in as well if you haven't already. Let me know your comments, because I've gotten comments in the past about this, how vibrant the picture is, how great the movie is as far as pictures and sounds. So I really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the story. Had a lot of fun with it. Hope you did too. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to my 14 patrons. Thank you to Movie Poster Posters for following us on Twitter. Thanks to everybody on Twitter. Great conversations. Keep all the comments coming. Really appreciate that. And everybody, have a great week. I'll see you next week. I have an idea on what I'm going to do, but maybe not. Because, you know, I'm having so much fun. Let's go with the flow. Have some fun. Check out movies. Wake up on the bright side. All that fun stuff. But most importantly, what are you going to do? Go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.